receive the blessing. I receive the blessing. The Lord caused His face to shine upon me. The Lord give me peace. The Lord keep my going out and my coming in. The Lord, my shepherd, watches over my soul, watches over my family, watches over all that belongs to me. I shall not be stranded. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Somebody say that to yourself. I am blessed. Blessed in the city. Blessed in this field. Blessed in my going out. Blessed in my coming in. Blessed in my lying down. Blessed in my waking up. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. So shall it be for you. Will you thank God again for bringing you into this new month? You didn't pay for it. He brought it. He brought you into it free of charge. January to July, everything made available free. Now in a new month. Now in a new month. New things, new name, new oil, new grace. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. Somebody say loud amen. At the covenant prophetic trumpet day, the Lord spoke to us very clearly that He will make new things happen to you this month. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 to 19, he said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Is that for somebody? Shout it, God will do a new thing in my life. Now it shall spring forth. When do you want your own? Shall ye not know it? Say with me, I will know it. And in Revelation chapter 22, he said, behold, I make all things new. All things new. All things new. Behold, I make how many things? I make all things new. I make all things new. Now lift up your hand and receive the blessing of new things. All things around my life is new. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, please lift up your hands before the Lord. I decree that this month new things will happen in your life. You will sing new songs this month. You will have a new name this month. New oil on your head this month. New grace upon you this month. New visions this month. New open doors to you this month. New joy to you this month. New revelation for you this month. New promotions for you this month. Everything around you this month shall be new. Every old things you don't want to see again passes away right now. New wine for you this month. New lands and houses for you this month. New health for you this month. Every area of your life where you are due for new things, receive it right now. So shall it be. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Take that blessing right now. Take that blessing right now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name we are prayed. Prophecies are keys to our future. When you receive prophecy,
it opens the door to your destiny, to your future. He said, these prophecies have gone before you, before you. Prophecy means God speaking ahead of you, declaring the things that must happen. And once you believe it, it begins to happen. Now that I see that you believe, you will see the glory of God. Before you take your seat, ask God to send new words to you this morning. Every new thing is preceded by new words. New words. Before I declare them, before they happen, I declare them. Father, send to me this morning new words for new encounters, for new visitation. Thank you, mighty Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name we are praying. Somebody who believes and expects, say loud, amen. Amen. It is my year of breaking limits. Please get seated and whisper Happy New Month to your neighbor. I can see you wanted to clap your hands, so do that very well right now for the Lord. Shout a shout of victory. Welcome to this very crucial, important, and vital service, our prophetic entrance service, and you've received the prophecies already. It's also our services of provoking heaven's reward for all the services you are rendering in the kingdom of God since January till date. Today, God will remember your works. I'm glad somebody's saying amen to that. And number three, in case you don't have your prayer card yet, you raise your hand, the officials of the church will pass a copy to you. We are having what we call the prayer banquet, where you will list your heart's desire before the Lord. And God, who answers prayer, will answer you speedily. Your shame shall be turned into glory. All who are waiting to see you fall will see you rise. All who have said that it will not be well with you, you will be the one to help them out. Say with me, God will answer me speedily. He said, we have come unto God who answers prayer. Psalm 65, verse 2. Unto him who answers prayer shall all flesh come. You have come today, your prayer shall be answered. Amen. I say your prayer shall be answered. Amen. Psalm 57, verse 2, he said very clearly, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth how many things? Does that include your thing? God will perform them for you today. So get ready, God will visit you. Meanwhile, our prophetic focus for the month, as it is read to us a little while ago, is I am a child of destiny. Somebody say that with me. Will you say also, I'm not a destitute. I am not a child of pity. I am not a begging child. What kind of child are you? Say it again, somebody. Our running scriptures for this theme is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 9 to 14. The emphasis in that scripture is leading and making. Verse 10, look at that very well. You found him in a desert land. Wherever you are right now is good enough for God to start you off. He found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. What did he do to him? He led him what? He led him about. He led him about. No matter where you are, just let God lead you. You will soon be out of it. He led him about. What more? He instructed him. And as a result, he kept him. The led will be kept. The directed will be protected. He led him. He instructed him. He kept him. He kept him. He protected him. And what was the effect? Verses 11 and 12, or verse 12. Let's go straight. Verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him. The Lord did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. And what was the outcome? He made him. He led him. He made him. He led him. Whosoever he leads, he makes. He led him. And he made him to ride. He didn't need to struggle. He didn't need to walk. He didn't need to run. He made him to ride. When God leads, he leads you to high places of the heart. Nobody will find you among low places again. That prayer is for somebody. Say loud amen to catch it. He led him. You will no longer flutter like a duck. You will no longer flap as other birds. He will lead you to your high places. In the precious name of Jesus. Our teaching series has commenced in the first service, where we received a very powerful and insightful teaching. Continues right now. The caption is Understanding How God Leads. And we're looking at part 1b. Understanding is what births maturity. Maturity is measured by understanding. And maturity is reserved to men. He said, in malice be ye babes, but in understanding be ye men, be ye matured. God is looking for spiritually matured people. When you're born again, you are a babe. You grow up as a child, but you mature in understanding, be ye men. Paul was telling the church of Corinth, in understanding, be ye men. Be ye men. So the subject we're looking at is a subject that will make you demonstrate maturity in the faith. In understanding, be ye men. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Mature. Life will be out of control without guidance. Psalm 32, verse 8, is the scriptures for the teaching series. Hear God speaking. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that thou shalt go. I will give you vision, that is the destination. But you cannot get there on your own. I will instruct you. Divine guidance is loaded in instructions and teachings. In the way which thou shalt go, I will guide you with mine eyes. Verse 9. He said, therefore, be ye not as the horse. You are out of control. Or as the mule, too slow, which have no understanding. So divine guidance is the moderator of your life. Divine guidance moderates your steps, not to be hasty and not to be slow. There are people who are too hasty. Anything that comes their way, they jump into it. There are others who are too slow. Opportunity passes them by and they are asleep. They can't catch up with it. So divine guidance orchestrates your steps not to miss divine opportunities. Divine guidance is the moderator of your destiny, is the monitor of your destiny, is the teleguide of your destiny, is the remote control of your destiny. As I speak this word to you this morning, receive the impartation for divine guidance. Please note, when the enemy cannot stop you from moving forward, he wants to misguide you. That's why you meet many people who are full of energy, but they are in the wrong direction. No matter how powerful your car is, if you want to go to Lafayette and you head towards Maraba and you are racing very high, will you ever get there? No. That's why many times we look at some people and say, oh, this man is very hardworking. Why are things not working? It is because it's in a wrong direction. In science, the definition of force, simply put, is walk in the right direction. So you become impactful when you are walking in the right direction. What are we saying? Energy cannot make you succeed in life, for by strength shall no man prevail. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9. By strength, by sweat, by struggle, by flapping shall no man prevail. It is divine guidance that leads to human greatness. You are as great as God's guidance. Great people in this kingdom are not necessarily strong people. They are only guided people. I repeat that again. Great people are not necessarily strong people. They are simply God guided. Don't ever think I'm a strong man. No, I am simply guided. Strong men will sweat, but guided people will not sweat. Our destiny is fulfilled by His guidance. Our destination is arrived at by His guidance. That's why Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Fisherman, you are a non-entity. You will never get anywhere outside of your fishing industry. But if you follow me, I will make you. It is not your background that makes you, it is His guidance that makes you. His guidance. I want to trust God with you that very shortly, that long journey in which you have been struggling will be ended. You will never struggle to make it again in life. Somebody came to Bishop Oyedepo and asked him, how do you get things done so cheaply? And what was his answer? It is because we do nothing except the Lord commands it. We do nothing. We take no step except the Lord instructs us to do it. Now, why are we focusing on the subject of God's leading? It is to help us realize that there are no ceilings on our destiny as believers. There is no limit to our lives. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, vision is limitless. And it is possible to all who believe. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Every child of God possesses not just potentials, but greater potentials in redemption than all the Old Testament saints. Matthew 11, 11. Verily I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, like you, is greater than John. Say with me, I'm greater. Say again, I have greater potentials than John the Baptist. Who said so? Now you see, when God speaks, it's not ambition for you to repeat it. I'm not being ambitious. No, I'm just being visionary. Saying what God says is not ambition. It is just being visionary. God said so. I believe so. And I say so. God said, I am greater than John the Baptist. We obviously have a destiny of no limit in Christ. So I mean, there's no limit to me. And there is no limit for me. But we can only move from one phase to another by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I mean, following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me hear you very well. You don't have a limit. John 14, 12, Jesus said that you will even do greater than works that he has done. And how does that become possible? Romans 8, 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Destiny is fulfilled by divine guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know, in human system, you can only tell of the beginning. But the Lord tells us the end from the beginning. That's why we need his guidance. We need to follow the one who knows the end from the beginning. There's a way that seems to be right unto man, but the end of it is destruction. Proverbs 14:12 or 16:25 is the same thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end of it is the way of death. Man is limited. Man is limited. But God is unlimited. He knows the end from the beginning. Please lift up your hand and say with me, Lord Jesus, shepherd of my soul, take control of my life. Hold my hand. I will not struggle with you again. Guide me in the way. Lead me in the path. Make me follow the pattern. I don't want to be battered any longer. Say loud amen to that. Now, if guidance is as important, how do you assess it? What are the things to do? Because God is a God of ways. Remember, we're talking about how, understand how God lives. So how does he lead? What must you do? That's where it begins. So number one, you must be born again. You must be born again. Remember, Romans 8, 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Who are those who are led by the Spirit of God? They are the sons of God. So, until you become a son of God, you cannot be led by the Spirit of God. If you like, call it spiritual alignment. Spiritual, you have to align to the Spirit of God. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. And when they become sons of God, they will be led by the Spirit of God. Until you become a son of God, you are not entitled to the Spirit of God that is to lead you. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. That great teacher, well-educated, came to Jesus and said, hey, no man can do these things except the Lord be with him. And Jesus said, yes, the Lord is with me. And for him to be with you, you must be born again. You know, Jesus also was born. He was the firstborn of God. He was born to be connected to the Spirit of God. So everyone that will be led like Jesus was led must be born the way Jesus was born. You must be born again. Why? So you can align spiritually to the Spirit of God. Number two, you must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the next class that every believer must assume. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. The Holy Spirit is crucial in guiding us. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our human spirit. The first spirit is capital S. The next one is small. The first one is referring to the Holy Spirit. The small one is referring to your spirit. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. We connect your spirit to confirm you for divine guidance. The spirit of man is the candor of the Lord. Proverbs 20:27. God guides us by his spirit through our spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that rekindles your spirit. Your spirit is like candle. The Holy Spirit is the one who put light on it. The expression of candle is the light that is on it. So your spirit man is the candle. The Holy Spirit comes to put light on it. The Holy Spirit lightens you to know what to do per time. And that's why Jesus speaking in John 16, verses 12 to 25. I mean to 15. 12 to 15. I have many things to say, many things to instruct you about, many things to show to you, but you cannot cope with it now. You cannot receive it. However, when the Spirit, capital S, when the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, He does not deceive people. Now, the Holy Spirit will help you not to be confused. When the Spirit of truth is come, He will take over your life and be guiding you. He will be guiding you. Whatsoever you hear, He shall hear that, He shall speak. He will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will show to you. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without being filled with the Holy Spirit, life's journey is like wilderness. Now, somebody here with me, please lift up your hand and say with me, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, charge me up. Holy Spirit, I need you. Every day, every moment, every hour, 24/7. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now if you can. Pray in that language. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name. Is it making some sense to somebody here? They prayed. In case you are here seated this morning, you are here to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Stay after the service. Attend the Believers and Salvation class at the vestry on in the basement. You just walk towards the back. They will lead you there. Pray for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Even Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 3, 21, 22, and Luke 4, verse 18, and verse 14. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Number three, be clothed with meekness. Why do you need meekness? You need meekness so that you can be teachable. You can be malleable. You need meekness. Psalm 25, verse 9 and verse 12. Very important. The meek will he guide. So if you want to be guided, be meek. Be humble. Be teachable. Be responsive to his instruction. The meek will he teach in his ways. Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. God teaches only the teachable, the meek. Now, there are two animals. One appears to be very powerful. The other appears to be weak. The first one is the lion. The lion. Self-dependence. Bold. In human language. But the other one is the sheep. Meek. If you tell the sheep stop, it stops. Lie down, it lies down. You can't tell the lion to lie down. It's self-sufficient. And you know what? The young lion, they suffer want and lack. They are too strong. They die of hunger. But no sheep dies of hunger. Gentle, follows instruction. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me by the waterside. I never get thirsty. He leads me into green pasture. I never get hungry. Do you want to stop suffering hunger and nakedness? Be the meek sheep. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made my choice to listen for your word. Wherever you may lead, I will go. The lion will roar to say, I am here. The sheep will bleat, calling for help. The bleating of sheep is call for help. Divine guidance is God's help to you. It's God's help to you. be meek. Moses, when Moses was powerful, he couldn't lead the children of Israel. But when Moses became meek without weapon, God used him to lead the children of Israel. Meekness will always attract divine guidance. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Meekness will always attract divine guidance. Psalm 138, verse 8. Even though heaven is far from the earth, verse 7, please. The Lord will appear to the meek. Please check up that verse for me very well. Though heaven is far from the heart, the Lord hath respect to the lowly. If you are lowly, if you are meek, you can be sure of the help of God available to you. Put your hand on your heart and say, "Amen, Lord Jesus, grant unto me meekness." Psalm 138, verse 6, very important. If you are meek, you become a friend to God. Number four, what do you need to access divine guidance? You access divine guidance through the voice of the Spirit of God. John 10, 4 and 5, and verse 27. Jesus speaking, "I put forth my own sheep, I go before them. The sheep follow me, for they know my voice." From today, you will know his voice. "A stranger will they not follow." Say with me, "I will not follow the stranger." Put your hand on your ear and say, "From today, I will not hear the voice of the devil. I will not hear the voice of misguidance." He said, "But they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger." They know not the voice of the stranger. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Please say with me again, "From today, I know the voice of my shepherd." Say it again, "And I will follow him." Now, some people ask, "How do I know that I have heard God? How do I know that I'm following God?" There are simple parameters, an acid test. Number one is peace. When you are in God's plan, you have peace of mind. Peace of mind. This is very simple. All of us know when we have peace and when we don't have peace. Psalm 85, verse 8. If you hear any voice that makes you fear, it is not from God. God does not speak to terrorize us. He speaks to give us peace. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak with peace unto his people. Peace. Peace always come with divine guidance. When you don't have peace, don't rush. Don't be in a hurry. The peace of God that passes all understanding will flood your heart. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Peace connotes calmness and stillness beyond explanation. People ask, "You look so calm," because the peace of God attested that you are guided. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And what will happen? "He maketh me to lie down in green pasture, he leadeth me beside the still waters." No roaring. Everything is calm. Everything is calm. Everything is calm. If you see yourself troubled, running up, etter-scatter, you are not sure, take it easy. Take it easy. Psalm 25, verses 12 and 13. Remember, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall the Lord teach the way that he shall choose." And what will happen when the Lord has spoken to him? His soul shall dwell at ease. 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 His soul shall dwell. When you find yourself struggling with a decision, relax yourself. His soul shall be at ease. Life is easy when you are guided.
When you see turbulence,
watch it. God is not there.
God is not there.
1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. The Lord said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Calmness. Number two. How do you prove that you are led by the Spirit of God? From biblical standpoint of view, there will be liberty of your spirit. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. There is liberty. Paul the Apostle claimed that he had God speaking to him to go somewhere. And the same Paul said, I don't know. I feel chains and bound around me. Acts 20, verses 22 to 23. Acts 20. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit. Now look at small s. He's talking about his spirit man. I'm going on to Jerusalem, not knowing the thing that shall befall me there. God cannot lead you to a place and you will not know what will happen. Save that the Holy Ghost, witness in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. Can you see that? His spirit told him, you are bound. The Holy Spirit told him, don't go. Affliction is waiting for you. Yet it went. They told him not to go. He said, but none of these things move me. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm going. He went and they locked him up. Remember, when God leads, he will keep. There is what David described as free spirit. Psalm 51 verse 12. Free spirit. Guide me, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Free spirit. The Spirit of God makes you free. Liberty. That's the meaning of that. When you don't have liberty, business people, before you sign that check, before you sign that business deal, before you invest that money, let your spirit be free. People who want to be married, let your spirit be free. That means no outer of doubt, no question in your mind. You want to make a journey, be free in your spirit. When you are bound, wait. Don't say the flight will soon take off. Wait. There will always be flight. Don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. Now, I decree that from today, no one shall suffer misguidance. Say loud, amen. Please lift up your hand and pray with me desperately. Lord, rescue me from misguidance. Rescue me from misdirection. I don't want to miss my step. Save me from people who may come to misguide my life. Save me from opportunities that may want to swallow up my destiny. Save me, Lord. I will never suffer misguidance again. Somebody pray. Pray right now. The Lord will guide you all through this month. The Lord will guide you all through the remaining part of the year and all through your lifetime. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Today also being our day of reward, please note that we have a covenant of reward with God. What is covenant? Do your part, and God will do his part. We have a covenant of reward with God. One of those scriptures that assures us is Exodus 23, 25, 26. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and he will take sickness away from you. You will not cast your young, nor be barren. Reward. For instance, he said, fruitfulness is the reward that God gives to you. Psalm 127, verse 2. Children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. His reward. His reward. Labor is the basis for reward. That is, if you labor, you are entitled to reward. You have been laboring in the house of God, laboring in prayer. Colossians 4:12, you are laboring in prayer. Luke 2:37, you are laboring in prayer. You are laboring in soul winning. John 4:32-36, you are laboring in prayer. You are laboring in love. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor in love. Hebrews 6:10. So every labor attracts reward. For everyone laboring in the house of God, your reward is here right now. I didn't hear your amen very well. I say your reward is here right now. Quickly, look at this with me. By covenant, God recognizes your work. What is God's attitude towards our labor? Number one, he recognizes your labor, your work. Revelation 3:8-15. I know thy works. I know thy works. Say with me, God knows my works. Say it confidently. Number two, God records your labor. He recognizes it. He records it. Malachi 4:1-2. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as the oven. Come to verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. He will check the record and arise on your behalf. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Esther 2:21-23. After Mordecai rescued the king from assassination, it was recorded in his favor. In those days, Mordecai was sitting at the gate, the king's gate, and he stopped those who sought to kill him, those who sought to kill the king. And verse 22, and the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. He recorded it in Mordecai's name. It was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. God rewards your work. He rewards your works. Somebody say loud amen. Amen. Number three, God remembers your works. Psalm 20:3, remember all your offerings. Hebrews 6:10, he is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Isaiah 38:1-3, Isaiah said, remember now my works. Remember me, O Lord, how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart. And I've labored that which is good in your sight. Remember me, because you have a record. Number four, God rewards your work. He recognizes it, he records it, he remembers it, and he rewards it. Matthew 6:17-18. And God who sees you in the secret shall reward you in the open. Hebrews 11:6. He that come to God must come by faith, for he is a rewarder of them that diligently serve him. Lift up your hand. I decree today, your labor in the kingdom shall be remembered. Now, how does God reward his children? Number one, he rewards them fully. Ruth 2:12. He rewards them fully, not half. The Lord recompense thy works and a full reward. Say with me, full reward. I didn't hear you very well. A full reward be given you.
Full reward. How many of you will receive full reward today? Say, I receive it right now.
Number two, how does God reward your works? He rewards you quickly. Quickly.
Say with me, quickly.
Revelation chapter 12, 22. 22 verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. And as I'm coming, my reward is with me. Quickly. 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 There shall be no further delay. Do you know this week, rewards will answer for you?
I didn't hear your amen enough. This week, your rewards will come quickly.
Isaiah told Hezekiah, you will die. Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 to 3, like we said earlier, verse 3, he asked God to remember. And in verse 4, quickly, God answered. Quickly, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto you 50 more years. Quickly, 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 quickly. This week will be your week of quick rewards.
Somebody who believes, say another loud amen.
Number three, how God rewards. He rewards openly. Openly. Matthew 6, verses 6, 17 and 18. Genesis 21, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah as he has said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken, and Sarah conceived. Everything became open. Has anybody ever had a 90-year-old woman conceive and bear a child? Open reward. What people have never heard or seen before will be noticed in your life. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. Cornelius was rewarded openly. 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 He was serving in the secret. God rewarded him in the open. Somebody here will receive your own reward in the open.
Say very loud, amen.
Please note as I close, you can place demand for rewards. Hezekiah did. And God gave it to him. Hezekiah did. So you have a right. Lord, I can't be suffering like this. I'm serving you. Remember me, Lord. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 14 and 31. Look at the prayer here. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. Verse 31. For the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruit. Remember me, O my God, for good. God will remember you for good. Is it not God who said, put me in remembrance? Isaiah 41, 21. Remind me. Isaiah 41, 21 and 43, 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare that as I may be justified. Verse 21, chapter 41. Produce your cause, hear the Lord. Bring your spirit, your strong reason. Bring forth your strong reason. Bring record of your service. And he will remember. He remembered Hezekiah immediately and he answered him. Today your answer is here. And please note, prophets and priests are God's agent for releasing reward. When you serve God in the house, he uses the priest in the house to release your blessing. The widow of Zarephath served under Elijah, and Elijah was used to release reward. Woman, for doing this, your store will not dry, your pot will not dry. And the woman was eating fat according to the word of Elijah. According to the word of Elijah, according to the words of his servant Oedipo, which I am announcing to you now, none of you will be hungry. Another woman served under Elisha, and Elisha said unto her in chapter 4, 2 Kings 8 to 17. According to the time of life, you will bring forth fruit. And she conceived and she brought forth her child. Get ready. Every word I pronounce on you today will find speedy fulfillment this week.
If you believe, say, I believe.
I believe.
Say it again, I believe.
I believe.
You are with us in this house serving God. Can God be blessing Bishop Oedipo and not bless you? Abba. We are
I am following the footstep of his servant and servant. As God is blessing him, he's blessing me. In the same way, many of you sitting there, you are following our footstep. The way God is blessing us, he will bless you. Raise your voice and shout the loudest, amen. Well, before we rise to pray, quickly, these things are not accidental. First and first, your spirit must be connected to the spirit of God before you'll be blessed. And that is, you must be born again. That has been said earlier. You must be born again. You must give your life to Jesus. God will not pour water in dirty vessel. If your life is dirty, he cannot pour out his blessing. And you know what I'm talking about. If you are seated here, you are living in fornication, you are living in adultery, you are living telling lies, you are living in one thing or the other that even your heart tells you is wrong. You know what you do in the brothel. You know what you do. Selling burukutu. And all kinds of stuff to people. And you expect the Spirit of God to come upon you. It's not possible. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be deceived. You are stealing government's money. And you think the Spirit of God will be with you. Doing wuru-wuru and corner-corner. And fainting when they ask you questions. You can't walk that way. Amen. You must be born again. You must be born again. It's a condition for everybody. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. So if you are not, please be sincere. Don't deceive yourself. Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to be free. I'm not condemning you. I'm only telling you the reason why you need to be born again. And Jesus is serious about it. Somebody say, oh, God is too kind. How can he destroy the whole world? Believe me, anybody that does not believe, Jesus said, is condemned to destruction. It matters. Didn't God destroy the whole world except Noah? He destroyed everything and everybody because they will not listen to him. You will not suffer destruction. You will not end your life in hell. So if you are not born again, the Spirit of God is telling your spirit, your conscience is telling you to be born again. Why not? Quickly do that. In case also you are here, you gave your life to Jesus before, but you backslid, and you know you are still in backsliding. You know it. You have joined drunkards. You have joined gangs. Before, you are zealous in serving God. Now you are cold. You don't even read the Bible again. You don't pray again. And you know you have lost your peace. Why don't you run back to Jesus like the prodigal son? This is not to condemn you. It is to let you know how serious God is about you. This morning, you want to surrender your life to Jesus. Stand to your feet with me. You want to be restored to the faith. Stand to your feet. Yes, you need that. I know you will. I know you will not be an hypocrite. I know you'll be sincere. All of my friends out there on the gallery, anywhere, I know you are very sincere. Somebody is already coming. Why not stand up quickly? Come to the altar. Come and identify with Jesus. I'm not the one calling you. Jesus is the one calling you. I'm tired of living the way I'm living. Come quickly to Jesus. Don't leave your Bible behind. Or your cap, or anything you come to church with. Church, let's get excited as we receive them coming right now from everywhere, from anywhere. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, I thank God for all of you who are coming. The devil had no power over you. You have left the devil behind. You have left the devil behind. All of my young people are there. Run down here so we can save time and close early enough. Wherever you are, run down, run down, run down, run down. Run down, run down from the gallery. Don't tell me the Spirit of God is not speaking to you. There are individuals there. The Spirit of God is knocking your heart right now. And you know it. Don't say later, because later may be late. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there are people who say, I don't want anybody to see me stand up. What a wrong feeling. If you are told you won lottery of 1 million, nobody will need to appeal to you to stand up to come and claim it. What I'm telling you is greater than anything anybody will ever give to you. You are still seated, you are watching me. You are saying, when this man is tired, he will keep quiet. Because of you, I will not keep quiet. I will not keep quiet. You must be born again. You must stand up now. Therefore, by the authority in the name of Jesus, I decree you stand up now. Now. The devil has no power over you. I'm talking with not less than 20 people now. who are still seated, who needs to stand up, who needs to come right now. Stand up. I mean stand up. I mean you. Stand up right now and come quickly. Come quickly. You know yourself. You have been backsliding. The last 2 years you have been backsliding. You have been dodging Jesus. You have been avoiding church. Now Jesus is arresting you. Stand up now. I mean you. You. Stand up now and run down here. Clap for them. They are coming. Clap for Jesus. They are coming. There are three people still on the gallery out there. You know yourself. Quickly stand up. Don't delay. Stand up right now. Stand up right now. And run down here. Thank you, Jesus. God bless all of you for your decision this morning. You have made the greatest decision. You will never regret it. Two people are still there coming. Hasten your step. All of us in front here, put your right hand on your heart. And pray this prayer with me quickly. Pray it loud. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Make it louder. Lord Jesus, please have mercy on me. Save me today. Deliver me from the power of sin. Bring me into your kingdom. Make me your child. Right now, I denounce Satan. I renounce sin. Satan, leave me alone. I am now for Jesus. Jesus, give me your power to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me. I'm now a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you are happy you prayed this prayer? Are you happy you prayed the prayer? It's a new day for you. Please go with our church officials in this direction or this other direction. God bless you. We love you. Church, give Jesus a big hand. There is joy in heaven over every soul that is saved. All of you watching us live in this service, look at the screen, follow the instruction, pick your telephone right now, send us SMS indicating that you are now born again. Use any of the numbers out there. I can assure you, we'll get back to you very shortly, sending the same message to you, acknowledging that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Somebody give God another big hand for this soul saved this morning. Get your prayer card ready. Very shortly, we'll be praying the prayer that must be answered. The prayer that must be answered. Say with me, God must.